back here on The Scoop. The Minnesota Vikings losing yesterday to the Buffalo Bills 27-6. Yes, if you missed it, Vikings lose 27-6. And here to help us try to put some sort of a positive spin on this is
AJ Mansour of KFAN 100.3 FM. AJ, one of the, I think, most alarming Vikings performances I've ever seen. You could put it up there with the NFC title game. But with all the trap game narratives, this Vikings team just completely was not ready to play yesterday.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, not too often do you see a full-fledged failure like that. Three-phase comedy of errors, we'll call it. It was everybody participated in this loss, and everybody screwed up, and everybody made mistakes. And, you know, they're kind of owning up to it. But I guess the big question you want to know is what was the reason? Why did it happen, and how do we prevent it next time? And I don't know that that answer is quite as simple.
Let's start off with the offense. And it was ugly from the get-go as Kirk Cousins fumbled on the first two series for the Vikings in the game. And the offensive line, which had been able to at points offset the pressure that defenses were sending, just really had no answer for what Buffalo was doing in terms of a pass rush. Were they doing anything special with it, or was it just simply them just being more physical?
Not really. I mean, they were just sticking it to them. It was sometimes they had some different blitzes that would, even, you know, nothing that these guys haven't seen before. But they would bring the blitz, but then they would rush three, rush four, and still get pressure on the quarterback. So it was just a bad day, and everyone had their bad day at the same time. You know, it makes me wonder if maybe the MVP of this team is backup tight end David Morgan, who couldn't go. And you know, he's been known as a all around tight end. He can catch passes, he can block in the run game, but he can also protect the passer. And we know that that's not one of Kyle Rudolph's strengths. He does a lot of things well, but, you know, pass blocking, a rushing defenseman, is not one of them. So, you know, that might be one of the more important things for us to watch as we get ready for this L.A. Rams game is whether or not David Morgan's going to be able to go, because, you know, the L.A. Rams don't have a bad defensive line. They don't have a bad defense. And after you watch what the Bills did, they're going to watch some of that tape and try and replicate that. But to answer your question, it was just bad. all across the board, it was bad. From scheme to execution, and they just weren't able to do it.
I know the game plan dictated the Vikings not running the ball hardly at all because of how far behind they were right away, but the offense really felt the loss of Dalvin Cook as well, because it seems like Cook makes this team so much more multi-dimensional, and nothing against Latavius Murray, but Cook is able to get out in space a lot better, and it seemed like the Bills realized that the Vikings weren't going to be able to do some of those things, and that gave the defense that much more of an ability to rush Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember the first couple games, we were talking, and Dalvin Cook wasn't having good performances. He was struggling too. You know, he would get his yards, but he'd end with like 60. You know, it was nothing crazy, nothing super impressive. What he was able to do, though, was catch the ball out of the backfield on either a designed pass play to the running back or a dump off, and they didn't really have that. And it was twofold. You know, they didn't have time to get to that point of a progression where you get to the dump off. But at the same time, I think the Bills did kind of take some of that away. And you mentioned that the blitzkrieg got the Bills up 17-0 like halfway through the first quarter. And it completely changed everything that the Vikings had planned. They threw out the window because the game plan now couldn't be balanced. They couldn't run the ball as much as they wanted to. They had to get the ball out of Kirk Cousins' hands faster than they maybe had planned, and they just had to adapt everything. And, you know, Dalvin Cook does help that. It sounds like he's expecting to be back on Thursday. We're seeing any, you know, setbacks with his injury. But at the same time, you know, if you don't fix that offensive line or adapt your play calls to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands, it's going to be messy. You know, two years ago, I think it was, Sam Bradford's first year, the year Teddy got hurt, the offensive line was in shambles. There were injuries everywhere. They were bad, maybe worse than this offensive line, and they had to adapt the play calls to get the ball out of Sam's hand. It was an extension of the run game, is kind of what we talked about. That short passing game kept those defenders to play true. You know, it made them play up. It made them you know, play a little more even, and that opened up the deep pass game. But they're going to have to do something, whether it's play calling, whether it's schematically, or Kirk is just going to have to live with his head on a swivel.
AJ, I know a lot of what happened yesterday was result of the defense having to try to stop Baltimore or Buffalo on short fields. But I think Chris Hockey keyed in on something that I found very interesting. He tweeted out yesterday thinking that it seems like the book might be out on this Vikings defense. They just have not looked the same since midway through that that playoff game last year against the Saints. Is it a matter of the league kind of figuring out what this defense is doing, and now the Vikings defense has to try to adjust to get back on top?
Well, you know, there might be something to that, but I think it's more so execution and just poor execution. You know, Mike Zimmer's defense is not rocket science. You know, it's not new. It's just an aggressive style that he has adapted into make his own, and you find the right players that fit that style, and that's where you find success. But it's not like he's changing the game of football with a newfangled defense that no one has ever seen before. I think with that, you know, it's more so they're just identifying the weaknesses of these players. If somebody can't do this or can't do that, you hone in on that. So I don't think it's a schematic flaw. I think maybe it's a execution flaw that goes down on a person-by-person basis, and that tape might be getting out there. But those are things that I think you can fix a little bit. You know, I think that, you know, if Anderson Dejo is known to be more aggressive, as we all know him to be, you can chill him out a little bit. You can get inside his brain and help him settle down, help him view it a little differently, you know, sit back on his responsibilities. And I'm just using him as an example, but it goes across the board. I mean, Anthony Barr, what has happened to that guy? He came into the league and we thought we had something super special his rookie season. And ever since, it seems like it's been downhill. He had a decent year last year, but this year he's off to another cruddy start, and this was maybe the worst game of his career against the Bills this weekend.
AJ, I don't want to get into any of the speculation as to why Everson Griffin missed the game yesterday. There has been plenty of that online, but is it a situation of this defense simply missing some leadership out there on the field on Sunday?
Well, there's definitely something to be said with that. You know, we've seen it with the Minnesota Twins in this market. You know, Torrey Hunter retires, and you kind of lose the face of the franchise, the voice of the locker room, and there's things change. Even though you have a guy like Joe Mauer or a guy like Harrison Smith for the Vikings, they're there. They're proven. They're leaders, but they do it by example. They don't really talk. They don't get people amped up. They don't slow people down when things are going crazy. You know, Brian Robinson, Terrence Newman are two big missing pieces from last year's roster. You go back a couple years, Chad Greenway was that piece. Now, it's kind of a transitional year. At the beginning of this season, the Vikings had, I think, maybe the youngest lineup across the board as far as their roster goes. Getting rid of Daniel Carlson and adding Dan Bailey has now shifted that, but you have a changing of identities. And Everson, you know, despite his kind of quirkiness, he's a leader here. He's one of the guys that will get you amped. He will hold you accountable. Maybe that's the most important thing. He's not afraid to call you out if you're not doing your job, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. He'll let you know about it. He'll get you amped up. He'll raise the temperature of the room. And I think that's something that they were missing. I don't think that that's why they lost. But that was definitely something that when you get down by 17, there's really no one on the sideline to go nuts and chew you out outside of the coaches. And sometimes we know these millionaire players don't listen to the coaches as much as they maybe should.
AJ, we did see the return of Pat Elflein to the offensive line yesterday. He did not start, but was able to come into the game and get some reps in advance of the Thursday night game against the Rams. What did you think of Elflein's performance, and how much of a boost can he be for this unit that is clearly struggling through 3 weeks of the season?
Well, you know, his performance the other day, I don't know if it was make or break or did anything special. You know, the offensive line was still allowing pressures, and he had one bad snap that maybe just he wasn't in the same page as Kirk and ready to go, but he's knocking some rust off, and I think that's the most important thing. He is your best option at center, and if you can take him at center and move some other pieces around to make your offensive line as a whole a little better, that's going to be an improvement for this team as they struggle up front on the offensive line. So You know, I don't think it was anything to write home about this week, but I do think that, you know, that they go on business as usual, and the plan hopefully then would be for him to start there on Thursday. Got a little experience in there, get to practice a couple days with Kirk, and go out there against the Rams. And you know, I don't think it's going to be night and day difference offensive line, but it'll be a little bit more of an improved offensive line.
I do, before we get on to that that Rams game on Thursday, one final, just trying to figure out what the heck happened. I have seen that everybody that has played in a tie so far this year has lost their next game. So was there a little bit of a kind of after effect of that result? I know the Steelers and Browns both lost their next game after the tie, and of course Green Bay lost yesterday too. Any sort of lingering effects from that result that kind of hung over this team?
Well, it could. I mean, we see week to week, and we've seen with this team, the game before does affect what happens. And, you know, I think we had high hopes for this Minnesota Vikings team, given the way that the tie was accomplished. I mean, it was a come-from-behind, a great fourth quarter for Kirk Cousins in this offense to put up 22 points, fight their way back in against the Packers. Obviously, the missed kicks were disappointing, but I think everyone was hoping that what was going to carry over was not the disappointment from the tie, the disappointment from the missed kicks, but the excitement from what we saw on offense and from Kirk Cousins, and that was the opposite. You know, we barely saw anything from them, and their hands were forced early, but even then, it was troublesome. So I think that I don't know that the tie, you know, that every time they're going to tie going forward is going to be a bad omen, but I do think that what happens the week before does factor in, whether they admit it or not. There's some carryover from moment to moment, and that's why it's so important to get that momentum. And, you know, the Vikings had this sort of scenario last year where they got off to a slow start, and they rattled off 8 victories in a row. So get that momentum going and try and get some wins back-to-back-to-back here against some decent teams, and you'll feel better about yourself.
Rams up next, and they have looked really, really good so far this season. Then again, coming into the game last year against the Vikings, they looked really, really good as well, and then Vikings came away with a 24-7 win. AJ, would you expect the offensive game plan to be, I don't want to say simpler, but a little bit more concise, just having to deal with this tremendous front line that the Rams have?
Yeah, you know, I don't think so. I think that every defense has its weaknesses. Every aggressive player has spots where you can attack him. So I think that that's what they're going to do. They did figure something out last year against this Rams team that allowed them to get some points on the board. But if you remember, a lot of that was big defensive plays too, pressure on the quarterback, really making Jared Goff uncomfortable. And I guess one of the things to be watching, you kind of mentioned it in passing, is the status of Everson Griffin. Be it the personal matter he's dealing with, be it the knee that he's dealing with, whatever it might be, getting him back, I think, is going to be important for this team to put some pressure on the young quarterback to really force their hand and try and keep the ball out of Todd Gurley's hands, because that guy's special. So pay attention to his status. Pay attention to the health of the defensive linebacking core as well, because some of those blitzes were what really did get to Goff. And we'll see. I mean, they're two good teams. Both teams have played bad games in the last 2 years. The Vikings, unfortunately, are coming off of a bad game, while the Rams are coming off of 3 pretty good games. So you're going to find a way to try and negate that and take that momentum away from them.
AJ, I did want to ask about Mike Zimmer's demeanor as well. I know, as we've seen in the past, after losses, the demeanor from Zimmer is definitely steely, to say the least. What did we see from him after the game yesterday and so far here today, just getting ready for that Thursday game?
You know, he's always kind of a turn-the-page guy. He has this reputation of being fiery because of some of the things that we see on the sidelines, some of the things that we see from Hard Knocks back in the day. But once he gets in front of a microphone, he's pretty short. He's pretty concise with what he's saying, and it's all contrived. I think he knows that he doesn't want to add any fuel to the fire, that he doesn't want to put bulletin board material out there. But we've seen in his tenure too that he'll use the media to kind of call players out and light a little fire under their butt. You know, if he's not going to say it in a meeting room, or maybe he has and it hasn't worked, his next tactic will be to go to the media and try and use that as a tool to get them a little fired up and get the players back and being engaged again. So he has learned over the however many years he's been head coach how to use the media, how to approach the media, and how to use it to his advantage and prevent being what he has said being a disadvantage.
Final one for you here, AJ. Leading up to Thursday's game, what can listeners check out over at both KFAN.com, and what can they listen to on KFAN in terms of content all week?
Yeah, no doubt. We have a new podcast called the State of Purple Podcast. It is myself and former Golden Gopher Tommy Olson taking a look at the Minnesota Vikings week that was, the week that's upcoming, and a little bit of off-field Minnesota Vikings lifestyle and culture. It's been a fun podcast to do. Tommy, if you listen to the Power Trip, anybody out there, is a personality in and of himself, and he brings a different flair that I think is enjoyable and fun for a lot of people to see. But that's up there. We're still picking apart this loss, and obviously we'll turn our attention towards the Los Angeles Rams in a day or so here to preview that game as well.
Excellent, AJ. Yeah, anybody that's listened to the Power Trip, more TO is definitely a great thing. So definitely going to have to check that out. Hopefully the Vikings can get things put back on track and we can celebrate another victory Monday with you next week. But we'll just see what happens, and we'll break it all down with you again next Monday.
Sounds good, brother. Have a good week.